In our society, there is one very important part of our society, which is guests coming and going, or himself, a person becomes a guest, or a guest comes to visit him. And then, every person, according to his style and according to his method, according to his ability, He hosts the guest and treats the guest. And in here, within this, we have cultural effects or cultural factors. For example, different people from different areas, different countries or areas, they present food in a different way. If a Pathan has guests, then the Pathan will host the guests and prepare the food according to what he thinks is best. And if there's a Punjabi who's the host, he will present food according to what he thinks about it. If he's Balochi, and if he's a Surati, then he will present and host according to his style. If he's Sindhi, then he'll present food and host the guest in the way he thinks is best. There's a different style, a method, a technique, a way. But the best method, what is the best method that we can adopt? What is the best method that we can adopt to host the guest? The best tariqah method is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught us and explained to us this method. So that would be the best way to host guests. Leave behind all the cultures and traditions. The glory, the quality of a Muslim is that whatever he does in life, whatever action he does, in which way does he do it? The way that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated to us. So, if we present food the way we want, and if we present in the way Nabi ﷺ did, the difference is like the difference between the heavens and the earth. If we adopt the Prophet's ways, there will be barakah, blessings, rahmah, mercies, Allah's fadl, and this will be ibadah. Worship will be high-grade ibadah, due to which Allah will be pleased and happy. So this is our deen. This is what Nabi ﷺ has taught to us. That the method I give to you, adopt that, practice that. The world, people, different areas, etc. People will bring all different new various methods, but you should follow my tariqah. You should, for example, Allah Ta'ala says that if you follow the tariqah of Rasulullah SAW, then Allah Ta'ala removes, eliminates all problems, issues, people have enmity with you, etc. So what was the blessed method of the Prophet ﷺ to host and feed the guest? We need to look at this. And today in this majlis, alhamdulillah, if we learn this method, then we have taken hold of a very big part of ilm, alhamdulillah, knowledge. And if we do amal on this, then we'll be the alim with the amal. These majalis, gathering, sitting down, coming together. Our pious elders taught us this, that when we learnt, that there's a reason for this. There's a reason for doing dhikr. There's a reason for sitting in the majalis, in the gatherings. There's a reason for going into the good company. And that's just one thing, is that through the company, the method, the majalis, we learn the blessed sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the most valuable thing. Everything else is secondary. And all of the reason why we have gatherings and we have bayan or speech or hadith are studied and disseminated so that we can bring into our lives the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. And as the time is passing, people are discarding the sunnah, his methods. And if we leave the sunnah, different issues, problems, difficulties, they surround a person. They surround a person. And such, there was no thing that the Prophet ﷺ, he told us everything. So from where do the enemies come from? A person, for example, has attacks, and in the morning where he is, and in those evening where he is. Everything the Prophet ﷺ scanned. And he taught us beautiful du'as of how to be protected if somebody's against you, wants to give you harm. You cannot get this in any deen, in any religion. If you go to the toilet, how you should go in? How should you place your feet inside? So is this just for nothing? No, no. We don't see that for all around us are our enemies, the sort of hidden, invisible enemies who are surrounding us, the jinns and the sort of evil forces and the jinns and shaitans and dark forces. And Allah says that this is my punishment for you, that you left the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the punishment you've got. You can go running for the cure, but this is the punishment. Allah says, I've given you protection in your life. Allah's great, great hikmah and mercy for us is that the protection we are desperate for, and Allah Ta'ala's also, we practice the sunnah and it's a protection for us, but if we practice it, we get reward as well. As if you sleep like this, you'll get this reward. You get the road as well. And alhamdulillah, thousands of things from you are protected from thousands of things and darkness. And there's one sunnah. One sunnah. If you take one sunnah, you research it, then you realize that thousands of illnesses of a human being are eliminated, removed. Subhanallah. So, what is the methodology? That we should listen carefully, attentively when our guests come. What should we do? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Let's do amal on this from today. Because we're going to feed people have guests. Everyone has guests. If, for example, somebody will come to your shop. Even if, for example, somebody comes to drink tea, or if you are giving somebody coke to drink, even that person a guest. So we have to bring it to our mind straight away. The method of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he teach us? How should we serve the guest? If I think he's a guest, then I'm the host and I'll get the thawab. I'll get the reward. So you don't need to have lengthy wazifas and prayers and recitations and sujood and big ibadah. Not everybody can do this. Allah Ta'ala has given us these so-called small things. They're not. They're very massive, big deeds, and we ignore them. What a great piece of ibadah, hosting a guest. So this is a hadith in Tirmidhi, and this is in Zad al-Mu'ad, and it stated that that when the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have a guest, then the Prophet ﷺ would treat his guest how? That he would feed his guest on his own dastarkhan in this way. On his food mat, the Prophet ﷺ would feed or present the food to his guest in this way. These are the words of the hadith. How? That when the food was presented, then the guest, time and time again, the Prophet ﷺ would say, eat some more. Time and time again, the Prophet ﷺ would tell the guest, have some more. And until the guest was not satisfied and he had not eaten and he himself didn't reject or deny, the Prophet ﷺ would keep on saying to the guest, have some more. Then he'd stop. On the outside, it looks minor. But if we do amal on this, then what great wisdoms there are hidden in this that we cannot imagine. We cannot even imagine or think. Number one, the first point that's taught in this hadith, what is it? Yes, that your guest, the Prophet ﷺ would feed his guest on his dastarkhwan, on his food mat. So this is the first point, that this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that all tariqahs, methods he put to the side, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ sunnah, doesn't matter what generation you live in, food you give to the guest, whether it's a feast, a big walima, celebration, but you feed the guest on the dastarkhwan. On the food mat. Look at this point. And we put our noses up in there. What will people say? What's going to happen? And this is the destruction of the deen. We leave the Holy Prophet. We're worried about people focusing on their thoughts and emotions. Someone standing and eating. Someone sitting and eating. Someone's listening to music and eating. Someone's eating, chit-chatting, laughing. Here. And he's here on that side. Ajib. Such a great ibadah. Guests are coming. And you're feeding and presenting the food to the guests. So what happens then? So all the barakat in that dawah, in that feast, all of the rahmah and the fadl of Allah, all of that Allah Ta'ala eliminates and ends. And just the food is left. There's nothing in there. No blessings. Just a little bit of good food. You see thousands of people are eating in the wrong way at that time. And they are then affected by thousands of illnesses. I'm telling you the facts. There's research in this. Thousands of illnesses they earn, they leave. They don't know how to put their hands into the food, the sunnah tariqah, there's no dua recited, nothing. They're eating like animals. Animals. But we have a difference here. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has taught us how to live in society. He's taught us how to live in society. We're not against anyone. We don't think we're better than anyone. But we should do what we think is best. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? No, it's okay. You do what you want. We're not against you. But we follow what we know is the best way of life. We're not enemies with anyone. That's okay. This is your way of life. This is your culture, tradition. You eat like that. Do what you want. No problem. But the difference here is that we have a great guide, Rahbar-e Azim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah sent such a great guide, his Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who looked after us so much that he didn't want to give us difficulty even when we're eating. He wanted to teach us. He wanted to save us. He wanted to give us rewards at the time of eating. Rather, we run around, oh, this is happening and that's happening. We don't get rewarded. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to save us at the time he was present on earth. That don't you know that what will happen to you in the hereafter? If you adopt this way of mine, Allah has given me so much power that every action of mine has nur, light beyond light. Isn't this? Allah says, the nur will come. The nur al-kitabun. The nur will come. Subhanallah. Such a light, such a guidance. He was a light in every action. He was the nur, the light, the enlightenment that can take a human being from here to anywhere. In ma'rifah, in nearness to Allah, in everything. So the first point we learn from this hadith is always at home, outside. Doesn't matter how big is the guest. Without formality for his benefit, he won't understand. Put the dasturkhan on the mat, on the food, on the floor, and say, come, let's eat today. And be careful that when you do amal on the sunnah, never in your mind should you bring the point of people who say that I'm following the sunnah. No. Don't do it to show, look, I'm following the sunnah, he's not following the sunnah. Don't look down at people. That's why the pious PDCs have stated that Zahiri sunnahs, through their murids, they used to stop their murids that don't do these because you will have to takabbur, pride. Oh look, I wear the tahmad, the dhoti, he wears this, I'm wearing imam, I'm doing this, he's doing this without that. I do this and that. Takabbur comes into that person's life. Pride, he starts to make a fuss. So the cure for this, the pious PDCs have said that on a certain stage they give ijazah that you can wear this libas. After a certain stage, people think that he's stopping me, the shaykh. No, it's not the capability of every man to follow sunnah. Takabbur comes into his life and pride, and this is what we need to eliminate. That Allah Ta'ala, if he's given you something to do, and you've got the company of someone pious, and you're doing the action, you shouldn't think that I'm greater, I'm better, and other people are lower than me. He's less than me. He's inferior to me. No, no. Rather, alhamdulillah, do amal on the sunnah in such a way that the other person also with love starts to do amal on that tariqah, the method. That's how we should present our deeds and our practice. Not, oh, I'm practicing sunnah, I'm higher, I'm better, you're down, and you keep on purposely telling others and reminding others you're following sunnah. This is riyah, showing off. That's why our pious predecessors, pious elders, they don't immediately take the student to the sunnah straight away. Those sunnahs that are very vivid and visible, and the people then, you might show off to them, so they refrain, they tell the student to refrain for a second. So you'll have understood what I'm saying, that why a person is told to stop this or not to adopt this, etc. Anyway, so whenever you do amal on a sunnah like this, the tawfiq, then this is how you should present to the guest. This is such a sunnah that when you sit and eat, don't think, I follow the sunnah, I follow sharia, you're not eating this way. No, when you sit in this way, that since I read a hadith and I'm following this hadith, Allah has given me benefits since the time I'm following this hadith and my digestive system has become better. And it happens. I used to burp a lot before after eating. Since I'm eating like this every day, I sit down. Since I've started to eat sitting down on the floor every day, and the food, it digests. And obviously those who don't eat like that, their stomachs will be big. You say, I'll start this as well from tomorrow and see how it goes. Many people then, mashallah, start to follow the amal, do the amal on the sunnah of the Prophet. And do you understand what I'm saying? So with wisdom, share with people, give them targhib, advise them, give them benefit. Oh, don't worry, what would people say? Oh, you're sitting on the floor, you look for... No, don't debate. Don't argue, just slip away from the quietly. The Sharia says that when there's debates which against the Sharia, don't argue and debate. Rather, just give an excuse and bypass that discussion. Oh, I don't want to spoil my iman and fall into a debate and argue and quarrel. Allah, if it gives them tawfiq, fine. But don't say, you're not doing it, I'm doing it, I'm better. Don't argue and quarrel with people. No, you don't say that you're better, especially in this day and age. So this amal, do amal in such a way, humble. Humble, don't be a burden on somebody else, don't criticize them. But give them targhib at the same time, advice. And this is what we call Deen Islam. Go to big gatherings in such a way, use the sunnah, follow the sunnah so that others also follow your way. But don't show off with fake, not genuine, and try to look down others. No, this is not the way. So put the dastarkhan, the food mat on the floor, and this should be common in our houses. Today our children, they're spoiled, they don't know about the sunnah. Without the tartib, the right method, they eat that you cannot imagine, they eat in the wrong way. So with our children at home, family folk, force them to sit down. No, you must sit down. Otherwise, don't put the food down. That, for example, why do we, for example, take out, don't put the good food, the delicacy, that first the food mat, that the sarkhwan has to be put on the floor, then the food comes. So this is the first point we learn from the hadith, that we must utilize the food mat, the sarkhwan. Second point, look at the hikmah of Allah, wisdom, that the guest, when your guests come, you invite them, but their condition is not good. And maybe, for example, guests within them, within friends, they have opposition, friction. So you call one guest and you call the other guest. They're not friendly with each other, but in their hearts, they have kina and malice and hatred for each other or anger for each other. When the Prophet, you do amal on this one of the Prophet, that time and time you go and present the food to the guests. Please have this. Keep presenting. Eat some. Have some more. Have some more. When you time and time again present this food to the guests, there's so much hikmah and wisdom in this sunnah, that the person who eats, automatically the love will come into the heart of the guest, that the love for the host will come, that he's looking after me so much, this person, subhanallah, he's got love for me, and he's not asking anyone, he keeps on giving me the meat, and he's giving me chicken, and Think about it yourself, that if you are invited to a feast, how happy you'll feel in your heart that someone keeps giving the meat, the good food, the delicacy. You say, oh, he loves me. And it'll become a record in your heart that I went to eat at his house, I was a guest, and he respected me so much. So he'll feel that doesn't matter how, for example, small society, they have rich people, poor people, higher class, middle class, so cool. So if you look after the person who's so cool, middle or low class, you'll feel, oh, they're looking after me. As though that this invitation of a big man, big shot in society, that they don't care about us. But they were good people. They had akhlaq and manners. Time and time again, he was presented himself, the food to me. And we should present the food ourselves. Not that we eat, that we take the meat bones and all the meat pieces ourselves, and then we don't care about the guests. No, try first that you help and assist and serve the guests. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Some great methodologies, the culture of the Muslims that we need to present to the guests. So the great hikmahs in this, Allah Ta'ala opens up the heart, the chest, enlightenment, love is multiplied between the host and the guest. And this experience of my life, those two parties who were enemies, they sat down in the wedding feast, so much love came into their hearts that they started to exchange. They started to say, okay, let's give our maybe daughter or son's hand in marriage to this person's own daughter. In other words, the relationships, the family ties were grown within those people who were enmity, had many people. But Shaitan, he wants to increase the enmity between people. And the more the enmity increases, the more the problems increase in the person's life. SubhanAllah, more difficulties come in that person's life. Always we should try that we, if for example problems are coming between people within relatives or friends, what we should try to do is to dilute those, is to try to suppress them and mellow them down so that we can come and we can form a pact on a common factor. For example, if you sleep with ease and peace, the friction will end. Here the Nabi has given us a hadith that if your haqq is present, your rights are present. What a beautiful hadith. That your haqq is there, your right is there, your dues are there, but you have compromised them back down for this reason. Okay, we'll have good relationships within us, and you've left your haqq, your right. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you will come to me, Allah says in the day of judgment, then I will give you the compensation for this, and I'll give you the haqq and the reward for this. SubhanAllah, how long will it take for us to get to Allah? Tell me. How long does it take? For example, you go to the doctor, you sit down, and it's janazah, 7 o'clock. And for example, he used to, run his shop at that time. People used to go then talk. This is a dream, this world. It's a dream. People walk, he passed away, do dua for him, he's died. People, you know, they're going. So it doesn't take long to meet Allah. Today, if you leave your haqq, your rights, you won't get a loss. Rather, you will get the haqq, your rights, and that place where you're desperately in need. When you'll get the bundles of rewards, this was your maqam, and you are about to go into Jahannam, you have nothing left your name, but Allah says, for my sake, you left your rights in the world. Today, you won't only be saved from Jahannam, rather due to the tufail and due to the sadaqah and due to the blessings of this haqq you left, you'll go into the greatest, highest level of Jannah. Whether it's a fight, quarrel, friendship, business, relatives, food, etc., given and taken. First and foremost thing, that what's the sunnah in this action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What's his tariqah? What's his method? Going to sleep? First thing, how should I go to sleep? Going to the toilet? How should I go? Eating? Sit down? Drinking water? How should I drink? In your nature, you should bring a thought process, so much fikr, concern. Hazrat Taqi Sahib Madazal Ali has stated, so much concern and worry you should have, then your life you should have just this fikr, that no action of mine should be against the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. No, every second, anything that's against the sunnah, that's shaitan who's grabbed hold of this. Shaitan. The second point, mashallah, alhamdulillah, is great. Allah Ta'ala lets the hearts meet and they overlap and they love is exchanged when you serve the guest in a nice way. And the third hikmah, third benefit, that if a guest comes who's stingy, miserly, and he says, oh, you also please come to my house. He says it, innit? Even though he's eaten, he's been served and assisted very well, he will be forced to say this. But here complains to people, look, we went to his house when we were departing. He said, oh, I didn't ask you about tea and water. Oh, I didn't remember asking you. We were in a rush. What a big drama, tell me. The other person understands he's lying. This is not the case. No. If it's the case, first ask. You can't force the guest, can you? But you should ask, would you like tea, cold, this and that? And when he doesn't speak, then he sits for a while, then you can bring what you prefer. But if he totally denies, no, I've eaten, I've come, I don't need anything, that's fine. Then alhamdulillah, you've offered, you have fulfilled the rights of the host, and you've asked and you wanted to give. So my brothers, this hadith, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, which is a very important hadith for our lives, and coming, going, meeting people, sitting, standing, going, leaving, let's do dua to Allah. The Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do amal practice on this hadith. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي أمي وزوجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم إنا آمنا واغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا غفار يا غفار يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم إنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم إنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وعذاب جهنم وفتنة المحيا والممات وفتنة المسيح الدجال يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا إلا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت
کچھ لوگوں نے اپنے عزیزوں کی مغفرت کی دعا کے لیے فرمایا ہے ڈاکٹر سدا صاحب کے لیے دعا فرمائے اور ایک اور خاتون ہیں ان کی والدہ کا انتقال ہو گیا بروم میں ان کے لیے بھی خاص دعا فرمائے اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ تمام مرحوم کی مغفرت فرمائے جنت میں اعلیٰ درجہ نصیب فرمائے ان کے گناہوں کو معاف فرمائے قبر کے عذابوں سے دور فرمائے قبر کے سوال آسان فرمائے ان کی قبروں کو جنت کی کیاریاں بنائے لواغین کو صبر جمیل نصیب فرمائے
ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.